Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the many things you've already blessed us with this day. Now, once again, the blessed opportunity to get back into your word helps now as we study. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word guidance, we'll turn to the Gospel of John. In chapter 16, we see some further instructions here, some further guidance here from the Lord teaching us as it reads, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God service." These are things that we're seeing fulfilled. They saw them back then, as of course, but now we're also seeing it on the increase. That around the world, there's an increase of Christians being slaughtered for being Christian. And he clearly told us it's going to happen, and it has happened, and is happening, and will continue right on up to the last days, increasing the closer and closer we get to that rapture of the church. As it continues. "And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me." See, those out there that consider their God being the one and only true God, don't know the true and living God. Such as the Muslims that are doing so many horrible things around the world and that are slaughtering Christians around the world. They worship their ancient moon god Allah, and under their teachings, their beliefs, there's no problem with killing an infidel, a Christian. But like he says up there, "And whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." They think they're doing a good work. Well, in the eyes of their god Allah, they probably are doing a good work, because Allah is purely Satan. And here we see the reference here in verse 3. "And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me." You cannot know the Heavenly Father without knowing Jesus Christ. He is the only way to the Heavenly Father. And they do not know or acknowledge Jesus Christ for being Lord, ultimate authority, God in the flesh. Therefore, they don't know the Father either. As it continues, "But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow hath filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Now, these last few verses here was a direct message given to the disciples. It was right there when the Lord was giving them these words of, and letting them know that the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, is going to be sent to them, and he will be their guide. Just as we today, when we trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Ghost comes into us, and he is the ultimate guide for us. As he continues, "And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now." They cannot bear them now. They weren't capable because they haven't yet received the indwelling spirit of the Holy Ghost. And we know that the Lord stuck around some 40 days preaching and teaching after his resurrection. And then, at the day of Pentecost, indwelt them with the Holy Ghost, and told them also that the Holy Ghost would give them remembrance of the things that he told them and would continue to teach them things that they weren't yet capable of understanding without the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Verse 13, howbeit, when he, speaking of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. That is the primary verse concerning the Holy Ghost as being a guide to the disciples and a guide to us. He will guide us. The Spirit of truth will guide us. The Comforter will guide us. We merely need to be willing to be guided by the Holy Ghost. Verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Giving him little clues, more prophecy about his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, and the receiving of the Holy Ghost. They're still kind of wondering, what is he talking about, as we see here in verse 17. Then said some of the disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said therefore, what is this that he saith, a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. And this is an example that they had not yet received the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost. They couldn't understand what he was talking about. Verse 19. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. The clarity of understanding that comes to someone once they are tied in fully and completely with the guidance of the Holy Ghost within us. They had not yet received that, but we can have that when we are truly tied in and tuned in and listen. Then you can understand the Word of God when you study it. He will reveal to us what we need, when we need it, as we can handle it. Sometimes we read things and we can't really comprehend it. Not ready to comprehend it. Because we start out as babes, and we grow and we mature. As we mature, the Lord gives us stronger and stronger things to digest. As we grow, we have more and more understanding. The more we apply the things the Lord gives us, the more He gives us what He has for us to be able to use to bring honor and glory to Him. So all the many blessings He pours upon us, we use those blessings in the right way, then He multiplies those blessings. And that includes the knowledge and understanding of His Word. Share what he has given, and he gives you more. Use it properly, and it multiplies. As it continues in verse 27, For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world again. I leave the world, and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee? By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and now come, that ye shall be scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The disciples weren't quite yet ready to stand boldly in the face of danger, because when the Lord gets arrested, sent to be crucified, they all run off scared. But after they indwelt with the Holy Ghost, it changes. And now if you will turn on over to Acts chapter 1, and we see here the ascension of Jesus Christ and the reassurance to the disciples that the guide of the Holy Ghost will be given them. In the book of Acts, chapter 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Note, through the Holy Ghost. Those commandments, guidance, is what those commandments are. Knowledge, information, wisdom, strength, boldness, whatever it was they needed. Verse 3, To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. The baptism of the Holy Ghost means you're completely immersed, you're completely covered, filled with the Holy Ghost. That's why in the representation of the actual baptism into water, you go down under the water. You're totally enveloped and totally covers us, all around us and within us. As it continues, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That's the Great Commission, to go out and preach and teach the gospel to the entire world. And they set out to do that and spread the gospel, and it's still being spread today, because of the finished work of Jesus Christ and the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost. We go out and do the task that's available for us to do. As it continues here, we see his ascension. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. coming back and getting us. Just like he says over there in John chapter 14. He's gone to prepare a place for us. He's going to come back and get us so that we can be with him and never to be separated from him ever again. But now we have the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost to guide us, just like he's telling them that would be coming to them. And 10 days after this ascension of Jesus Christ, we see this fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And that's so awesome that they were given this ability to communicate to the people that were there in their languages. As it continues, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. So they all began to share the good news of salvation, share the gospel, and become guides themselves. Being guided by the Holy Ghost and then being part of the work of the Holy Ghost, guiding others to the Lord. And by receiving that gift of speaking in tongues, which is speaking in the other languages, we see them able to speak to the other languages of the children of Israel that were come in to celebrate Pentecost. Verse 7. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own language, our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. So Peter, standing up with boldness, didn't deny Jesus like he did when they were about to crucify him. Nope. He stood up with boldness because he was indwelt with the Holy Ghost, being guided by the Holy Ghost, given that courage, given that strength and boldness to go ahead and proclaim it. So he says, Hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's an awesome verse right there, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it is clear that there was a massive change in the disciples when they received the indwelling Spirit and the guidance of the Holy Ghost. As we can see in our lives, when we become born-again Christians and begin to grow, the boldness, the strength, the courage, the knowledge, all are increased because of the guidance from the Holy Ghost. As we continue seeing this unfolding, as Peter begins to guide these that were there at the day of Pentecost. Verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. David speaking those words, being given a revelation of Jesus Christ and knowledge that I'm not going to spend eternity in hell if you're a believer. You're going to not see corruption, which means rot and decay, just like Jesus Christ ascended from that grave and received a glorified body, ascended up to the Father. We as well, after giving us that example, we are going to be able to receive a glorified body, join him, and be with him for eternity. And in verse 29, Peter continues to speak, Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruits of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Speaking of the bloodline coming down from David, which can trace from Mary all the way back to David. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. And his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Witnesses of the risen Jesus Christ. Because as I said there earlier, for 40 days he was there with them, teaching and preaching to them, giving him further guidance. As he continues, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Let them know that they were indwelt with the Holy Ghost. That's why they are been able to hear the various languages spoke, so they can hear the truth of the Word of God. Verse 34. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. That's all power going back to Jesus Christ, who he speaks about in Matthew, and returning to heaven, sit on the right hand of the Father, our great high priest, the mediator for us, the propitiation for our sins. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that's so awesome. And that's what happens when we are saved, when we repent, when we turn from our sinful ways and ask for forgiveness, the Holy Ghost comes into us. Verse 39, For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And that's letting us know that that goes out to everyone, not just to that group of Israelites that were there, but to everyone, to their descendants and to everyone. As he says here, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And a very important point there. The Lord calls people in. It's the work of the Holy Ghost that initiates the call of people to come and receive Jesus Christ. He then allows us to be a part of that work when we can go out and spread the gospel. But he doesn't need us. He doesn't have to have us. Some people get all puffed up with arrogance thinking, the Lord needs me to go here, needs me to go there, needs me to talk to these people. Well, no, he allows you to do that. Because if you don't do it, he'll either find somebody else, or he'll do it straight by angels or by the Holy Ghost and not involve anybody else. But he allows us to call people. He allows us to be a part of his work so we can gain blessings and gain rewards. Read that again. For the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Not as many as the preachers shall call or the missionaries shall call. No, the Lord calls them. Allows us to be a part of it, sure, but the Lord is the one doing the work. The Holy Ghost out there drawing him in, reeling him in. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. About 3,000 souls. That was quite a response from that sermon. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continually daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Another point right there about how it's the Lord doing the important work, where it clearly says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. He is doing the hard work. He allows us to be a part of his work, sure, but he's the one that's doing the tough stuff. So let's all get out there and be a part of the work of the Holy Ghost and be guided by the Holy Ghost to continue spreading the gospel and bringing more in to be a part of the family. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for the guidance that you provide us with by way of the Holy Ghost. Help all of us to understand that and listen up and follow your guidance. We thank you oh so much for that. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Thank you all.